Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
So shoot me straight. How many have seen these Peloton commercials? Anybody? Can I just see a show of hands of, like, if you have not seen it, because then you are like an Oompa Loompa, or you do not own a television, because we are being bombarded with these Peloton commercials. And if you don't know it, it's kind of this chic exercise bike where you get to see a video and you're going through the personal trainer. Does anyone have a Peloton in here? No, you know why you don't? Because you got to roll large for that, man. It's like expensive for those things. And here's what I love it. They are convincing people that you're going to go get this. And because this bike looks cool, like, do you see the commercial? Just beautiful people getting up there, and they hop on the bike, and it's like crack of dawn, and they're just so excited to get on the bike and do this stuff. Can I just tell you, it's not true. It's a bike. It's an exercise bike with an iPad on it. And we're forking out all this money because, like, oh, this is going to be the difference maker, man. And I guarantee you, it is going to be a laundry hanger, or we're going to see it at our next Every Nation yard sale. Okay? For most people, but for some they'll understand, hey, this is going to hurt. But in the end, it's going to be transformative. And you know what? I think the church, the body of Christ, is like that. Because sometimes we get these romantic ideas, and if you've been in church for any length of time, you can realize, church would be great if there are no people in it. But the reality is church is filled with people, broken people that realize their need for a Savior, and now we come together, and occasionally that can be difficult. But the reality is, God's transformative power upon your life is meant to take place in the church. Jesus didn't have a plan B, all right? And if you ever read, the book of Acts in your Bible, you'll realize the church has always been this way. It's always been somewhat difficult, and there's moments of high highs and low lows, but we do it together. And as we do that, we are transformed, and we're able to transform the world one life at a time. And so here's what I'd like to do this morning. I don't think I'm going to go long, but you never know, all right? And so we're going to continue in our series in the book of Luke. We're going to be in Luke chapter 11, verses 14 to 23 this morning. And here's what I'd like to do, if you're okay with this, is I'm going to teach the text, and then I want you to feel something. And then we'll say amen. Actually, we'll have communion, and then we'll say amen. All right? Because that's if that's not okay, I don't know what to do. I promise I'll get you home for the divisional games this afternoon. And so, Lord, we come to you now in Jesus' name. We thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather, Lord, your church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, Lord. Lord, we thank you. God, I pray for those watching by Facebook today, Lord, that you would be with them. God, that you would be near to them. I pray that you would give them ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand. And Lord, we pray above all, Lord, may the Patriots lose today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The evil empire. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I always joke, I say great stuff about Jesus, and I usually don't get applause, but man, curse the Patriots. this is excellent. Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 14, and this is Jesus. It says, "Now he, being Jesus, was casting out a demon that was mute. And when the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled." And so once again, we'll stop and start here, but it's important that you see when it says that Jesus casts out a demon out of this man. And the word for cast out, it's the word exbalo. Ex means to kick or to exit, and balo to throw. And so we see that Jesus is, there's no negotiation, there's no anything, but he's violently kicking out a demon that had been oppressing this poor man. And so we go on to verse 15. It says, but some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons." And so just a little background, the name for Beelzebub, it took a little while in kind of evolving, and many of you would know that the Canaanite god was this, they had several, but the predominant one was Baal, and so Baal was the pagan Philistine god, and so over time, it was said that Baal, he was the lord of the flyers, right? The spirits, the prince of the power of the air. But the Jewish folks, when they saw this Baal, this ridiculous idol that they would worship, they called him the Lord of the Flies, right? And if you've ever seen, been outside and see what flies are drawn to, please don't make me articulate that. But it was the way that the Jews would make fun of this ridiculous deity, and so they referred to him as Beelzebub. But here's what I'm really taken back and really frustrated. But I'm so glad that Daniel, that you kind of showed us how man, the Bible, it's taking place today, and how important it is to align our life. And you see that Jesus, he's just helping a poor man. Like, this guy is mute. He's trapped in the life of his mind and unable to communicate. And so Jesus said, I'm going to help this man. And he gets this demon and he casts it out with the word of his power. And what did they say? He's a demon. They demonized Jesus for doing this act. And the reality today, if you call yourself a Christian, you better buckle up, because you're going to be demonized. You're going to be kind of marginalized out in our culture. You just are. I love what Andy Stanley, he said this. He says, many people today in our culture will define Christians as moralistic, homophobic, anti-science, judgmental bigots who don't believe in dinosaurs but do believe they are the only ones going to heaven, and secretly relish the idea that everyone else is going to hell. And so that's out there today, so don't be surprised. And Jesus let us know, if they demonize Jesus, you think they're going to like you? All right? And so, but here's the kind of ironic thing is like, Christians are just, like, we're not making up the rules. It's like Daniel said, it's like we've been given the word of God, and now we believe that that's the pathway to human flourishing. And yet, isn't it funny that you get the prophets of the world, of our culture and our time, be it Dr. Oz, Dr. Phil, Oprah, wherever you get, do you know what they do on a weekly basis? They'll be like, hey, basically, this is what's wrong with you. This is how you fix it. And do you know what our people do? She gets me. He gets me. Dr. Phil is so amazing, right? But if Jesus says, this is what's wrong with you, and this is how you can fix it, and what? How dare you? You hater, you bigot, you fill in the blank, all right? And so if you see the hypocrisy of our culture, verse 16 says this, while others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. So people are saying, oh, you sure you cast the demon out, but give us a sign. You mean like healing blind eyes? How about, you mean like telling a storm to stop being stormy? Do you mean like telling dead people you can't be dead anymore? Right. Or my favorite, sticking a guy's ear back on that had fallen on the ground because it was cut off? Do you mean a sign like that? So it's kind of ridiculous to me that all these things are taking place, and yet they're constantly, yeah, but show us a sign. But show us a sign. And I promise you, you run into that individual today as well. And I think it's less about them seeking a sign and more about seeking a reason not to believe.
Yeah.
I'm looking for an excuse not to believe so I can do what I want to do. There's a theologian, mathematician. His name is Blaise Pascal. I don't know if you've heard of him. If you've been in school, you probably heard about him before. He had a great quote. He says this, in faith, there is enough light for those who want to believe and enough shadows to blind those who don't want to believe. And I think that's real true. You'll find what you're looking for. And so let's move on. In verse 17, it says this, but he, being Jesus, knowing their thoughts, just a little warning. How we know it'd become a little bit freaky being around Jesus, right? Oh my gosh, he knows my thoughts. He knows my thoughts. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. You need to hear this. any kingdom that's divided, any marriage, any family, any organization, any athletic team, any church that's divided, it cannot stand. Verse 18, and if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. Verse 20 says this, but if it's by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And so this finger of God, it would have been an Old Testament reference of the power and the person of God. So I don't know if you recall when Moses was doing signs and wonders and ushered in the plagues by the power of God. Do you remember the magicians were able to duplicate a couple of the signs until they couldn't? And then here's the reply was to Pharaoh, this is nothing other than the finger of God. We can't do this. This is otherworldly. When Moses went up and received the tablets written in stone by the finger of God. And so what Jesus is saying here is, I am God. What I'm doing here today is nothing other because I am God in the flesh. And so here's why that is significant as well is, I know we hear a weird noise. Outside, okay. So C.S. Lewis, funny. C.S. Lewis is going to say this, you have to do something with Jesus. He's either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord. Because he was a man that walked the earth and he said, hey, I'm God, come to save you. And so he can't be like just kind of a brilliant man, you cuckoo, unless he's God. And so you have to do something with Jesus. And then verse 21, I love this. Jesus says this, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Jesus said this, when there's a bully and comes in and oppresses people, when someone comes in and bullies the bully, everything changes. And so Satan is the great bully that comes in and oppresses, and he's fully armored up, except he says, a stronger one has now come into the scene, and he's about to bully the bully. Jesus is the stronger one. Like, we have to come up with a new category of name when we describe the character of Jesus. Like, when we describe Jesus as our God, we have to put the word omni in front of it. It means all. It means ultimate. It means there is none better. And so he's the omnipotent, the all-powerful God. He's the omnipresent, the God who is everywhere, at all times, and everywhere. And so we see that there's no debate who's the toughest guy in the room when Jesus is in there, all right? Because even once again, if you look at popular culture, don't get duped into what you see on Netflix and some of these things. There's no good power of the force, the good side and the dark side, and which side will win. No. There is no yin and yang. There is one God, and one day he's coming back, and he's going to eliminate all evil. Get this. I'm gonna check this out later on. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, that Paul describes the end of all time. The apocalypse, and there's the Antichrist will be ruling on the earth until the Christ comes. And it says this, that Jesus, it's like this climactic battle that all of time has been waiting for. And here's what it says, and the Lord destroyed him with the breath of his mouth. And it was over, right? And that's the God who we serve. And so verse 23, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters with me. And so this is a somewhat sobering thing. This is not a really particularly politically correct statement, but Jesus says this though. I'm coming to remove the oppressor, the evil one, the Antichrist. And he says, but if you don't choose to come and follow me, there's nothing I can do with that. There's a myth of neutrality, right? that, hey, I just won't, I'm not going to get involved, I'm just going to step back. To be neutral is to side with the enemy. And I know that's blunt and that might be real direct. I'm just reading the Bible, all right? Here's where I want to take us. And so that's our text. So that's the teaching part, okay? But now I want us to feel something, and I want to draw one point out from this verse, and that's this, is this idea of unity. Do you know that unity, he says this, that a house divided, it will fall. But conversely, do you know this? A house united will win. And God has created his church to win. Like, I don't know if you read, if you flip to the back of the book, we win. And so and we can't have victory without unity. Are you impressed with me that I made that rhyme? And I hope it sticks, but we can't have victory without unity. I want to show this video. I've showed you it before, but here's, if you guys remember the Rocky series, 1, 2, and 3, that's the trinity of all the Rocky movies. And so Rocky 1 was super powerful. Rocky 3, man, Clubber Lang and all that stuff was amazing. Rocky 2 was a little bit of a slow start. Because Rocky was undecided whether Adrian was going to let him fight. Can we agree there was a little disunity? And then Adrian gets sick, and suddenly there's a turning point in the movie. Dom, do we have this one?
There's one thing I want you to do for me.
What?
Come here. Win. What are we waiting for? Take
it! You don't feel it. Quite golly, but you want to drink eggs and go jogging and get on your Peloton right now. All right, now that's it. What happens? Adrian and Rocky, they get on the same page, and she says, win. Win. And that's what God has for us. If you don't believe me, I'm going to introduce you to another Rocky. In Matthew chapter 16, we see Peter. Jesus says to Peter and his disciples, who do men say that I am? And there's all this kind of noise about this confusion about who he is. And Peter, who always misses it, he hits a home run with this one. He says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus, he just stops it all. And he says, your name now is Rocky. That's what how it reads in the Greek. Your name is Rocky. And he says, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What Jesus just said, Peter, as you align with who I say I am, and you align with your brothers, you will surely win. Win in the earth. And that's what God's called his church to do. Suddenly, if listen to this, we may be small, but the power of unity I hope to show you this morning is unbelievably powerful. And suddenly our little church can become dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. And I don't know if you know this, but unity is at the very center of the universe. We worship a God, a triune God, a trinity, a triunity. There's Father, Son, and Spirit at the center of the universe. Perfect harmony, perfect unity, but ultimate power. And so we see the power of agreement is at the center of our universe. Just to show you, even the power of agreement here on earth, in Genesis chapter 11, we're introduced to the Tower of Babel, all right? And here's what happens. Sinful, broken humanity, they gather together really against God. And they build this giant tower up to the heavens. And what it is God sees mass humanity agreeing with one another. And here's what Almighty God says in Genesis chapter 11, verse 6. He says this, and the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. This is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they purpose to do will be impossible for them. God's like, uh-oh. When they gather together, everything is on the table for them. And so what does God do? Scatters and confuses their language. suddenly unity becomes impossible. And it says humanity scatters until God, in Acts chapter 2, has his church, his ecclesia, the called out ones, gathered together in an upper room. 120 Jews, and the Bible records this, Jews from, get this, every nation under heaven. And they all spoke different languages until the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost. And suddenly they spoke in other tongues and they understood each other. Suddenly unity became possible. God was uniting what had been scattered. Can I reverse it now? How about this? Do you know that the name, so the devil, it's Greek for Diablo. It means the one who scatters. That's the devil's job. It means to disintegrate, integer being one, and his great ploy is to disintegrate, keep us from being one family, one people, with one language, so we can make an impact and absolutely change the world. And so what happens is we forget that El Diablo is out there. And what can happen if you don't recognize, Ephesians chapter 6 says this, you and I, we don't battle against flesh and blood. In other words, people aren't our problem. They say this, but there is an enemy. We battle against principalities, powers. The Lord of the flies, if you will, is who we battle against. So show of hands here so we can see how nerdy a congregation we have. Anyone play with Star Wars action figures growing up? A few of us. Thank you, Eddie, for having the courage. Thank you. Thank you. A few of us are reluctantly, right? If you remember, we had those. Yeah, they had the action figures and all that. I don't know if you guys ever saw the transformation of those. Like Luke used to be like this skinny guy and just his arm. Now if you look at him, he's like got this big V. He's like just yoked up, like doing steroids, you know. But it's funny. Like as Christians do, we're kind of usually one step behind the culture, and so we made Bible action figures. So they did Moses, and they did Noah, and Abraham, and Jesus, and the disciples. And here's what happened. Moms across the U.S., they were writing in, they're saying, hey, Moses, my kid is making Moses fight Noah. And he says, Peter is always wrestling, fighting Jesus, and doing stuff. See, they neglected to make an enemy, an opponent. I thought, well, that's just so us, right? We forget that we have an enemy, an adversary, the devil, and what do? We just start fighting with one another, like we're no different. And so it's the devil is trying to do whatever he can do to keep us disintegrated, keep us from becoming one. Here's what I want to show you. I did this one specifically for you this morning, Viola, and so we're going to have a redemptive cat moment this morning. Before I do it, Dom, I do want to say this. You're going to see about the majestic lion. The lion is an apex predator, and so it is unbelievably powerful. They said to get struck by the paw of a male lion, which I believe, I thought they said, it weighs... I don't even want to guess how much, but if you're struck by the paw, it's like being struck by lightning, okay? When a lion roars, you can hear it 5 miles away. God has designed their eyes where they can literally see in the night. And so all this is good. Do you know what else about lions? Lions, as powerful as they are, they don't travel alone, but they walk together in the pride, in a group together. And I wanted to share this. If you have not watched Discover Earth, you are missing out.
As they mature, young males begin to explore the boundaries of the pride's territory. Red has ventured out alone. And blundered straight into the middle of the hyena clan. He's trapped by over 20 of them. tries to wear him down. This number of hyenas could kill him.
You to feel something this morning, and forgive me if that's too graphic and that type of thing, but here's what do you know, so you see these mighty lions, unbelievably powerful on their own, but if you're alone, then you are vulnerable. You know, there's in Psalms 91 verse 5, it says this, that as we align ourselves with Christ and with his body, he says we won't have to fear the wolves that come at night. And here's what I do know, is that there's some of us that in the evening time, or whenever, when we're alone with our thoughts, there's things that come in, and like those pack of hyenas, you're outnumbered, and they nip at you, and they do, and they're looking to take you out. And listen, we are outnumbered alone, but together, wherever two or more, did you hear him? He says, two lions together are no match for 20 hyenas. And so we see the power as we come together. See, you and I, if you will, listen, we can't just talk about, as we talk about unity, it's not enough to come to church. You need to plug in to the body of Christ. We need to unite with each other. Sorry for the National Geographic's kind of a Sunday. But there's one more. It was funny. I was researching kind of unity. And when I say researching, that means I Googled it. And it was funny. There's a moment where it says that there's a book on Amazon. And it was written by Mike DeVito. And I know Sean will know Mike. Some of you know Mike DeVito. He was a former New York Jets player. And he played on the D-line. And he's a guy that I got the privilege to disciple for a season. Now he's going to get his PhD in apologetics in Edinburgh, Scotland. He's like an author, kind of, pretty soon he's going to be Dr. Mike. And he told me, like, the book was coming out, but he didn't, like, and so I'm like, this book is amazing. Man, I ordered this book, and I texted him a picture of it. I'm like, bro, I got your book. And he's like, oh, that's not my book. It's not coming out till 2020. There must be another Mike DeVito. I'm like, oh. But I pounded back the book because it was interesting. It was talking about unity. And it highlighted something I'd never heard of before. It was this thing called murmurations. Has anyone heard of that before? And it was new to me as well. And murmurations is this. It's when you get a flock of birds that suddenly, and so they'll reference the starling bird. It's a middle-sized bird. It's vulnerable, fragile on its own. But what they do is they unite. They gather together, and somehow anywhere between 30,000 and 750,000 unite and together, and they orchestrate this movement together. I think we have some pictures of them, and it's something, now suddenly, something that was fragile becomes a force of nature. Something that was vulnerable, now the birds of prey want nothing to do with a murmuration of starlings because they become powerful together. And so I want to reiterate this. Once again, you should be proud because it rhymes, but don't mistake proximity with unity. It's not the same thing. Like you can be like present but not united. And that's where I think is real important. Do you know in these murmurations, these starling birds, do you know why there could be up to 750,000 together, yet they all know where to go and where to fly? Here's what scientists have found out. What they do is they don't pay attention to the group. They pay attention to the seven, the closest seven that are around them. And they're so aware of what their seven are doing that, get this, the scientists did a study. Do you know for human beings, our reaction time for things is 194 milliseconds. I don't even know what that is, okay? But take a typical bird is 38 milliseconds. But you get a bird in murmuration, well, it's aware of its seven, 15 milliseconds. It's lightning fast where they're able to react to see what their neighbor is doing. And that's the kind of relationship that I believe the body of Christ, that God has designed for us. If you wonder why we do like connect groups and things like that, it's to get you, it's like for you to identify who your seven is. And if you're not in a group, listen, it might take you a little while to find your seven. To find your people. If we were to be honest, how many have ever been to a connect group and you're like, oh, I hate these people? Right? So we've all been to some of those. Hey, it's okay. We just keep trying, all right? And we keep going until we find the seven people that God's joining us to that we can walk through. Jesus had his 12, but he also had his three. And these were the three men that he shared with him, the highest of highs, that up on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus revealed himself in his glory to his three. But as well, in the lowest of low, he took his three with him as you see him fall to his face and as teardrops and blood, sweat of blood came through his body. And so Jesus invited his three in. And here's another one. There's spiritual authority in unity. Spiritual authority in unity. Here's what I want to point us out. Has anyone like me, like when you hear miracles and signs and wonders over in Asia, Africa, South America, and you're like, why do we not see stuff over here in the United States? And if I could submit to you, I think a big reason for that is this, is see over in China, the underground church and in the Middle East, see the facade of safety and security has been lifted. See, these guys realize I desperately need other people in my life or I'm going to die. And so it's that kind of desperation that clings us as opposed to you and I in the facade of comfort and these type of things where we choose to divide over, hey, the sound of worship or how are we going to, the color of the carpet or the service times. Do you see kind of the discrepancy? And then we wonder why we're not united. And so we need to be looking for ways that I can agree and unite, not for reasons to divide and take up sides. Does that make sense? Here's what, even as Americans, we need to kind of rethink, like we're starting to rethink how we look at stuff because there's this rugged individualism. Come on, how many ever seen the movie Taken? You see that one? What is it? Liam Neeson, I'm going to handle this. One dude like beats up 7,000 people by himself. How many know like that? You know that's not real life, right? Like that dude is dead. Our army from, I believe it was 2001 to 2006, when they, you know how they have these pithy sayings, you know, be all you can be? Well, 2001 to 2006, we had be an army of one. And you know that they realized, hey, it sounds real glamorous, but it actually cuts against everything we want to represent. So they had to, hey, let's yank that one, and we're going to get a new one. Now they're called Army Strong. Yeah. Because why? Because we're better together when we link arms with one another. There's a great author, Mark Batterson. He wrote the book, The Circle Maker. And I love it. In this, he says this, Jesus didn't die to make you safe. He died to make you dangerous. Yeah. I just so love that, man. He didn't die to make us safe. He designed to make you dangerous and a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And the way we do that is as we connect with one another. He had another line I thought was great, too. He says this: some people believe that the purpose of life is not to arrive safe, it is to arrive safely at death, right? And so, the goal is not to arrive safely at death. Like we're just kind of like some well-cultured dog, right? We want to eat a little, we want to play a little, and then we hope not to die real bad. that's not what God has for us. God's called you and I to make a difference with our lives. Let me read to you Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20. Remember I said I was going to go short today? Sorry about that. We're landing the plane right here. Matthew 18, verses 15 to 20. It says this: if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. So do you see Jesus here saying, hey, we need to fight for unity? This passive aggressive, hey, you know, I'll just leave it down here. Time doesn't heal wounds. You need to address stuff and deal with it. Verse 16, but if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Once again, we're fighting for unity, for oneness. Verse 18, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. And so what I need you to see here this morning is the power of agreement. When you get two or more that were aligned and united with Christ and united with other, you get two people, the power of Christ is present. The power of Christ is present in our lives. I can show this to you in Numbers chapter 23. You guys remember the story of Balaam's donkey? Remember the donkey starts talking kind of crazy? Well, the guy Balaam, he wasn't necessarily a God follower. He was kind of a spiritual guy. And Balak, this of a nation that opposed God's people, Balak hired Balaam to curse God's people. And so he's like, hey, man, for the right price, I'll curse them. And so he goes, and here's what happens. Every time he's supposed to curse God's people, he blesses them. He can't help but bless them. And so it frustrates Balak, and here's what he says. He says this: I can't curse these people because the shout of a king is among them. And when we are together in unity, we can't be touched because the shout of our king is among us. He goes on to say this: I cannot curse what God has blessed. Psalm 133 says this: when we dwell together in unity, it's in that place God, he commands the blessing over our life. And so unity is unbelievably important. And so my last point is this: don't mistake unity for uniformity. Please don't do that. And so there's our strength is in our differences. Like, our sameness would make us weak, but it's our differences that make us unbelievably powerful. Look at, like, half our church is missing this morning, but if you would just look around this room, I mean, we got every nation, tribe, and tongue. We got young people, old people. We got pretty people, ugly people, pretty ugly people, right? We got the whole thing in here. But what I want us to see is this: is that we don't compete with one another, but we complete each other. That there's something about. Listen, my staff would be the first one to tell you, man. I have a lot of deficiencies in my ministry. I have lots of blind spots. Has anyone seen this, the Bird Box Challenge? You guys seen that? Some of you guys are like, I'd just be my Bible pastor. I would not watch that Netflix series with Sandra Bullock. So it's actually this movie. I watched it with my daughter, and it was weird. It gave me like a little bit of a creepy, like, wow, I wonder if that could be how it ends. And the idea is, if you kind of looked at this kind of spirit of death, then you would like commit suicide. And so the point of the story is to walk through like kind of blindfolded. And now they're doing these ridiculous blindfolded challenges where people are driving with blindfolds on. I'm like, oh, good Lord, help us. But I tell you what, there's areas of my life where I'm very much blindfolded. Like, I am a type A kind of achiever. Let's make it happen. And if I didn't have people with a compassionate heart, like, how many know Dottie, like, is unbelievable. Like, she just cares for people, feels for people. And I need to borrow her eyes, because I'll just be like, go. And so sometimes she's good to say, hey, we need to check on, you know, so-and-so and do this. And so I'm so grateful. I need to borrow her eyes. And so that's why we're so beautiful together. We have unique gift skills wiring from Almighty God. That's why I'm asking Anthony to partner with me with the men, because he's got a pastor's heart. Like, he just cares about, every time I get together with Anthony, we're there for 3 hours. I'm like, I did not talk with my wife for 3 hours, man. And so it's this unbelievable thing where he cares for men. And so so I need that gift in my life. And so that's why I believe it's so important that we're, and I celebrate the fact that we're all unique and different. And please, for us to be fully us, we need you to be fully who God made you to be. So don't try to be somebody else. Be you to the glory of God.
Thanks for joining us at Every Nation New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.